The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Still spinning off last night's national championship game. The first quarter or so, thinking bad game. Georgia's going to run away with this bad game. I start flipping around. I go to the coaches' channel, ESPN, all these different analysts and coaches breaking down the film, going back and forth over stuff. Remember, Chris Collinsworth said this very well in a New York Times story in December, that broadcasting a game for NBC on Sunday Night Football, they're told to gear it towards a 70-year-old female. Grandmas and grandpas. And that's who they're gearing their broadcast towards. And so when I'm watching last night on the big ESPN broadcast, it was very vanilla and very basic. And I flipped over and saw coaches going over film. It was fine. It was interesting for a game that didn't really have a whole lot of buzz. And I'm thinking, you know, Georgia's going to run away with this. And we're going to be talking about the legacy of Nick Saban moving forward. And is he really all that? Not from my opinion. Many people on social media were piling on him. Nick Saban's a great coach. You may not like him. If you're an Auburn fan, you don't like Nick Saban. Got it. Understood. I tend to look at this stuff and see as it goes. I just want a good story. And it was not a good story for half of last night's game. You have two SEC teams, so it's very regional. One SEC team is shutting out the other. Not a whole lot of action, not much of anything. But this quarterback comes in and plays, and this is why recruiting is such an inexact science. Everybody felt like Jalen Hurts was the story. There wasn't one ounce written that I saw. Nobody pulled aside the backup quarterback. Tua Tagovailoa. Say that 10 times really fast. I've heard the term already. It's been a tongue twister. Yeah, it was a tongue twister. Tagovailoa. Throws the touchdown pass. It's a freshman quarterback for Alabama throwing it to a freshman wide receiver, and Alabama wins the game in overtime. The kicker misses a kick for Alabama in regulation. I mean, it had every last bit of drama that you would want. And so we'll have Brad Edwards with us, ESPN College Football Insider, ESPN Radio College Game Day host, analyst, good friend of the show. And we're also going to, he's in Atlanta. I don't know if he's still in Atlanta, but he was in Atlanta. And I also want to get to his thoughts on the U of A head coach job opening and also Herm Edwards in Arizona State. So we'll have Brad Edwards with us coming up at 10:20. Our opening comments brought to you by Sagicor. Right off the top, Sagicor, you've got to have them top of mind, guys, when you're thinking about taking care of your family with your life insurance. Protect what matters most, right? Have you gone online? Have you gone to sagicornow.com? And gotten your free quote? Have you thought about taking care of your family to the nth degree if something were to happen? Have some peace of mind. Don't put it off. It's a simple click. SagicorNow.com. We appreciate Sagicor and their support of what we do here on Sports360AZ.com. We are self-funded. We are on AZ Central Sports. Appreciate those watching over on that platform. And of course, our website, Sports360AZ.com. Our television show, Brad Sessmatt Football AZ, will have several airings starting tonight. There is no Coyotes or Suns game, so it's just us tonight. That's all you want to watch. We'll have multiple airings that will be tonight over on FSAZ and throughout the week. So Alabama wins, and there's a bunch of stuff around the victory from last night. I think the angle of, is this quarterback going to stay at Alabama? I think the angle of three quarterbacks that are here in Arizona that are being recruited by Alabama, what do they do now? I think of the angle of the Arizona Cardinals needing a head football coach. Why would you not at least pick up the phone and call and ask Nick Saban, are you done coaching in college? I know for many of you that sounds absurd. It sounds ridiculous. It's the same thing I wrote over the weekend. If you're going to visit with Matt Patricia of the New England Patriots, and why wouldn't you talk to Bill Belichick if, in fact, he's dropping hints or there's the buzz out there that he's looking to get out of New England to go to the New York Giants? Last time I checked, it's a pretty good situation out here in Arizona. Sounds like from people around that I've talked to that he does like Arizona. Why would you not pick up the phone and call the best of the best? I know it sounds like a long shot. I know it seems like a long shot, but if all you do is settle, all you do is going to settle. Well, you know, we're just going to go get this coordinator. And it's fine. The coordinator could turn out to be the Bruce Arians. That coordinator could turn out to be the Sean McVay. That's fine. It's a good way to go. But if you have the best of the best in college and pro, that there are enough thoughts that they are looking or may consider making a move, why would you not pick up the phone and go explore it? Why wouldn't you do it? And so there's all this around Alabama. What really struck me last night, though, it was a bunch of times that Tongo Vailoa, and I'm going to butcher that numerous times today, as are people across the country, the number of times he made throws that were like, oh my gosh, this guy's making throws that a freshman just doesn't make, A. B, it was the poise of Jalen Hurts. You know, we're in a space in sports where most days guys sit behind microphones and they talk about things like some kid's dad going off about how his kid's basketball team can't win because that coach doesn't know what to do or that kid, that coach can't play. And the only reason why that's being brought up is people do read it, unfortunately. And in our industry, sometimes we're just worried about the number of clicks we're going to get on a website. Jalen Hurts is not going to get a whole lot of attention today nationally, though I've seen some people that have pointed out his poise last night. Jalen Hurts is 26-2 as a starting quarterback, and Jalen Hurts gets pulled out of the game, the national championship game. And Jalen Hurts throughout the game is on camera, and he is cheering, and he is mentoring, and he is encouraging. And when there's big plays that are made by Tua Tagovailoa, Jalen Hurts is the first one that's out on the field pumping his fists. When the championship pass is thrown and the confetti is falling, Jalen Hurts is the one that is trying to find this freshman to hug him and embrace him. There was none of the holding the helmet or sitting over on the bench or any of that nonsense. There was a player for Alabama last night that took a swing at one of his assistant coaches and was put back out in the game. That's a player that you'll probably have gotten the, yeah, it was the heat of battle, he reacted poorly, and in like 3 weeks from now, he's going to transfer to Appalachian State. He's not going to be at Alabama anymore. That's probably how it's going to work on that one. If you go through last night and you see a game of that magnitude and you see freshmen throwing to freshmen, and you see a kicker that misses the field goal and his teammates are there for him. You didn't see guys running up and yelling at him. It's actually a really cool shot on the sideline of an assistant coach kneeling and praying while the kicker is warming up, ready to go out there and try to win the game. And I probably, you were the same as me. I'm in my office saying, oh, ah! There was a lot of that last night. My wife's like, what are you trying to stand up, walk? No, it's just how great the game was. But Jalen Hurts is what really struck me. We need to see more of Jalen Hurts's, and we hope that Jalen Hurts has a great career in wherever it is he decides to go. If he decides to stay at Alabama, you can't tell me that both those quarterbacks, once all this stuff gets put to bed, you can't tell me that both those quarterbacks aren't going to sit back and take a long, hard look and say, all right, this is my place. This is where I'm going to stay. Everything is great. The biggest question in all of college football is not how many games Herm Edwards is going to win next year. It's not. Sorry, ASU fans. It's just not. The biggest question in all of college football for the next 8 months is what is going to happen at quarterback at Alabama. I was talking to a friend this morning who's in the recruiting world, and he said, you know, the hot story on Tagovailoa is he was going to transfer to UCLA after this game was over. He was leaving Alabama. Like, well, that sounds fine. There's always stuff of quarterbacks are looking to leave and go elsewhere. What will he do now? And then you have the three kids here in Arizona, and I'll get to them in about 15 minutes after Brad Edwards, that were all impacted last night in their futures in all likelihood, based off of what happened in the second half of a football game last night. Two of the three are supposed to visit Alabama in 2 weeks. If you're the dad, put yourself in this position. Your son is a highly regarded quarterback, and you watched the Alabama game last night, and your son is considering Alabama and other schools. What is your thought process today about Alabama? Let's say you're the backup to the backups. Let's say you're the number three, number four, number five at Alabama quarterbacks, and you just saw what happened last night. I'm not saying quarterbacks are mercenaries. I believe kids should stay in the school, but if they want to get on the field and play, they've got to seek out their best opportunity. If Blake Barnett had not left Alabama for Arizona State, do you think Blake Barnett's on the field last night? No. No. He made the decision to get out of there and go play elsewhere. And it hasn't worked out for him yet in terms of being on the field. So there was just a lot there that I saw last night that was more than just Alabama coming back and beating Georgia. We'll talk deeper about the game, Nick Saban, and much more with Brad Edwards next. ESPN College Football Insider, ESPN Radio College Game Day Analyst. That is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now let's do a deeper dive into what happened last night as everybody's still buzzing across the country. ESPN College Football Insider, ESPN Radio College Game Day Analyst, Brad Edwards. Always good to catch up with Brad on the show out here in Arizona. We'll also talk to him a little bit about the view of Herm Edwards and what may happen with the Knicks coach at the U of A. All right, have you taken a deep breath? Where do you put last night in terms of games, championship games, just games that you've covered, seen through the years?
Well, this is a conversation we had this same day last week coming off the Rose Bowl. You know, where does this game rank? And I'm kind of torn as to which one I would put ahead. I mean, certainly the Rose Bowl was higher scoring, and I think for that reason was more exciting in some respects. But it had a lot of the same drama in that at various points in the game, you thought it was over, and then you ended up being wrong. The way that Georgia's defense came out in the third quarter against Oklahoma and just completely did a 180, it's very similar to what Alabama's defense did about midway through the third quarter last night and carried that through the rest of the game. And so as much as people are talking about the Alabama freshman quarterback today and all that he did, and clearly that was essential to their win, I think people are overlooking what that defense did, a defense mm-hmm. that was worn down at the end of the first half. And I think just the offense being able to stay on the field a little bit longer, gave them a little bit of chance to get their energy back, that along with a longer halftime show.
Yeah.
I think that certainly there was an emotional boost as well for the defense when the offense finally started doing something. They felt like they were still in the game. Mm-hmm. I think that's really the untold part of this. But in terms of where's this game rank, what I said last week is it's so tough to do that the day after because of your recency bias, having just watched it. But off the top of my head, some of the other ones I came up with were obviously that Texas-USC Rose Bowl after the 2005 season. And then for me, even going back to after the 83 season, that Orange Bowl where Miami beat Nebraska, and it really started the Miami run. Those were just a few that had come to me off the top of my head. I'm sure if I gave it more thought, there would be others. But I really think the only way to do it is to take about 3 years and go back and watch them all in a row and see which one kind of grabs you the most at that point.
Talking with Brad Edwards, ESPN College Game Day, College Football Insider, ESPN Radio College Game Day Analyst here on the show. If we're, Brad, to go down the path of the inkling at all of Jalen Hurts being pulled out of a national championship game, in your preparation and all of your meetings, in everything that you go through, was there ever any conversation of and I know you've got to know the pronunciation, which on this one's hard enough, and the backstory, but there couldn't have been any production meetings that you're in saying, we got to know more about this backup, or maybe I'm dead flat wrong.
Well, actually, it's funny. I just finished my podcast, and we replayed a clip from the same podcast last year. It was the day after the national championship game a year ago, and in that podcast, we talked about the possibility that Jalen Hurts might not be a four-year starter at Alabama because he just had some obvious limitations as a passer. And there's a possibility, that with another offseason, he could get better, maybe with a different offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach, he could develop better. Jury was out on that, but the freshman who had already enrolled at that point at Alabama was mentioned specifically by name 1 year ago today, Tua Tagovailoa. And that was the implication that was made was that he could very well unseat Jalen Hurts in a short amount of time. He's that good. Mm-hmm. And that was based on, people who had just kind of followed him in the recruiting process. But I think what we saw is that Hurts continued to struggle against the better defenses that Alabama faced this year, much like he did late last year when teams were good enough up front to take away Alabama's running game or at least slow it down and make them have to pass. He wasn't good enough to do it. I still don't want to suggest from that he's not a good quarterback. I think most of the teams around the country would take him in a heartbeat.
Sure.
But when you get to that level and you're playing against the very best defensive fronts out there, you're not going to be able to just line up and run on them. You need more than that, and he didn't have it. I think there was a lot of conversation this year about are we going to see him at a certain point when their offense starts to struggle. Some people thought they should have gone to him in the Auburn game. I do believe, from what I've heard, there was a plan to go to him in the semifinal, but they got up 10-0 in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. The defense was great, and they never needed to, and so they kind of had that ace up their sleeve. But I don't know that it was an ace up the sleeve, because Kirby Smart, the Georgia coach, said after the game last night, he told his team at halftime they were going to see him. I think everybody knew it was coming, and that he was the better passer of the two. And as bold as it was for Nick Saban to make that move, you could certainly argue, on the other hand, he didn't really have a choice, that he had to throw to win, and this guy is by far the better passer of his two quarterbacks.
What do you think? To me, it's the biggest offseason story now as to who's going to be the guy. Or maybe it's just, come on, Brad, this is pretty obvious. They're going to go with the freshman going into a sophomore year next year.
I think that I don't think it's a done deal. I think very clearly there's going to be a quarterback competition. I think most of us would expect that Tagovailoa is going to win it. And, Jalen Hurts, I think even he has to recognize that he's not going to be a quarterback at the NFL level. Mm. And so if he wants to have a chance to play in the league, he could consider changing position. I don't know what his best position would be. Or if he doesn't win the job, then he could transfer like a lot of guys do, or he could just be content to ride out his last 2 years at Alabama as the backup. I mean, we saw last night that they're going to have, either way, they're going to have a quarterback who runs, and any quarterback who runs the ball is more of a threat to be injured or more jeopardy of being injured, which means that the backup quarterback's always one play away.
Right.
And so I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with Jalen Hurts, but I would tell you that I think the same thing is true at two other playoff teams that have a returning starter from this year. I think it's very much in play with Clemson. Mm. Clemson just signed for the second year in a row, signed a five-star quarterback. This one, it was the number two overall rated player by ESPN. And then, of course, Georgia, as well as Jake Fromm, played in the playoff. Mm-hmm. Georgia just signed the number one player in this year's signing class, who is a quarterback. And so I think the three returning starters from this year's playoff are all going to have their work cut out for them, if not to be the starter day one, at least to be able to hang on to that job all the way through next season. And so it's not just a Jalen Hurts and Alabama thing. This is just the reality of it when you've got, highly recruited guys who are coming in. Mm-hmm. If you're going to hold them off, you better be great. And Jalen Hurts had been good, but he had not been great.
What's interesting about that, Brad, is out here in Arizona, Alabama is supposed to bring out the two top quarterbacks from the state of Arizona in 2 weeks for visits. And the number one quarterback in the state, who's a junior, has already been offered by Alabama, and they're pushing hard on him too. So there's three quarterbacks out here in Arizona that are looking at Alabama today, and I'm wondering what their thought process would be, whether to follow through on that, or maybe the quarterback room is full. You're intimating it may not be as full as it looks on the outside.
Well, look, they had a hard time, finding quarterbacks up to this point. I guess that's why they're still bringing them in. I don't believe they signed a quarterback in the early signing period, and that makes sense because of what they have on the depth chart.
Sure.
Now, if this ends up being something that spurs Jalen Hurts to transfer, then you're looking at basically nothing behind Tagovailoa going into next year. And if that's the case, then, I mean, look, if he's as good as he looked last night, I know he doesn't have prototypical NFL size. He's not a super tall guy. But if he's a possible, you know, 3 years and done, he only has two more years as the starter. So if you came in behind him and you redshirt the first year, then you know, by your redshirt sophomore year, you could be the starter. But I don't think there's any question Alabama's looking for another talented quarterback, not only because their current guy, who looks like their current guy, might only have 2 years remaining, but also just because they really are lacking depth at that position. Because after Hurts became the starter last year, the second, third, and fourth string guys all transferred out at the end of last season. And so they're really thin at quarterback, even though they have two pretty good ones.
Yeah, and Blake Barnett's one of those. He came out here to Arizona State, and he didn't get on the field. Before I let you go, and before you get out of here, too, at the end, please plug your podcast so people can find it. You mentioned it earlier. I am curious, we're talking with Brad Edwards from ESPN, your view of the U of A head coaching job. We're hearing Bo Baldwin's name out here pretty strong. What do you make out of the replacement possibilities for Rich Rodriguez?
Yeah, I guess my question is that knowing what you have right now in Khalil Tate, how much does that influence your decision on a head coach? In other words, is it important for you to hire someone who has a scheme that fits his skill set? Mm. Or are you just going to hire who you think is the best guy for the job? And if that means that it's not a good fit with him and he ends up transferring to play elsewhere because of it, so be it. I don't know. I mean, I'd be really tempted to to think about, you know, about maximizing his potential if I'm hiring a head coach, just because he is that dynamic. I would love to see him develop further in a similar style offense. And a lot of the guys whose names I've heard thrown out there are that type of offense. So we'll see what they do. But that, to me, is kind of the most intriguing thing about this hire, is that you have a quarterback who has the potential to be an absolute superstar if he's in the right scheme. And that's I think, is a big question here.
Is there a clubhouse leader for this job that you've heard?
I'm not really in the coaching beat. So you would have heard more on it than I have, okay. But I've heard names like Sumlin and Helfrich thrown out there.
Sure.
And probably all the ones that you've been hearing for the last week.
Okay. Herm Edwards. So Arizona State has just gotten destroyed off this hire, just gotten annihilated.
Yeah.
And I think people out here are starting to come around a little bit. I'd like to point out that they do have Michigan State the second week of next season, so to think that this team's going to run out to a great start, good luck with that. But I'm curious the national view and what you see of the hire of Herm Edwards here at Arizona State.
Well, I mean, I know Herm from having worked at ESPN for so long, and I love being around the guy. And I just have a hard time believing that he won't be a great recruiter just because of his personality and just how real he is. I would think he would be outstanding in terms of anything related to PR with the football team. And the question is, what's he going to bring from the coaching standpoint? Well, obviously, he knows football if he's been in the NFL, although you get the impression that he's going to be more of a CEO here.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it really comes down to, you know, what does he get out of his assistant coaches? And I don't worry about Arizona State from a talent standpoint, because they have long been one of the more talented teams in the Pac-12. I just think the area just kind of lends itself to being able to recruit really good players, and so it's an attractive campus to be on. And I think that Herm could even take that up another notch. And look, the thing that I think a lot of people miss, because he's an NFL guy, is that he's been working with our high school recruiting stuff for many years. And so he's been in contact with these guys. It's not like he can't relate to kids that age anymore, because he's been working with them. So I expect that he'll recruit well. The first year is always going to be a challenge, especially now at the early signing period.
Right.
The one theme that I noticed nationally is that every school that had a coaching change struggled relative to what they normally do in that early signing period. So it might not be until next year, but I think he'll get good talent in there. And look, in a conference like the Pac-12, you're probably as good as your quarterback. And so I think that's the biggest thing, and I think that's been the case for a long time in that league.
If you if people want to find your podcast, how do they do it, Brad?
Oh, it's on the ESPN app. It's the Campus Conversation podcast. Today was the penultimate podcast of the season, so tomorrow they'll do the final one. And after that, we'll just have maybe one a week going forward. But it's been a fun year, and looking forward to taking a couple weeks break, and then I'll be ready to start again. Unfortunately, I got another 7 months until I can do it. But
there you go, there you go. Appreciate
such, such is life. But it was a great way to end it. That's for sure.
No question. Thanks for the visit. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brad.
It's Brad Edwards with us. Always good to catch up with him. I hadn't thought of his view of the Alabama quarterback situation. We'll talk further about that on the other side. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. So let's go a little bit further now into this Alabama win last night. Now that Brad Edwards had some good points I hadn't considered. The one point in particular is there's nobody behind Hurts with three players that had transferred out. But it still brings up the point of what happens here in Arizona in the next few weeks. In case you didn't know, and we do some recruiting stuff here on the show. We do our recruiting roundup every week on the TV show. People like to talk about the college football end of things. We have built this as a brand over the last 6 years of doing Sports 360 AZ. There's three quarterbacks, high school quarterbacks in our state. All three have been offered in some form and are going to visit Alabama at some point. Two of them are seniors. So they've been offered by Alabama, but they also have other options. So I want you to put yourself in the dad's seat on this. If you're someone who's in high school and you're watching the show, you put yourself in the player's seat. But if you're in the dad's seat or you're in the advisor's seat on this one, what way do you go? You watched the national championship game last night. You saw Jalen Hurts get sent to the bench. You saw Tua Tagovailoa get sent out on the field and just tear it up. And he was terrific. So the three players here in state, what is Jamari Joyner from Cienega? Eric, have you seen Jamari in person play?
I have. Yep.
Okay. And have you seen Brock Purdy in person? High School.
I have not seen him in person.
And I have seen Brock in person many times, but I have not seen Jamari in person.
You know what? I take that back. I have seen Brock play once.
Okay. So, and the third quarterback is Jacob Conover at Chandler High School, who's just a junior. Have you seen Jacob Conover play in person?
I have.
Okay. So of those three quarterbacks, and you have a good eye on this, are they Alabama quarterbacks?
No.
Are they SEC quarterbacks?
No.
Okay. And why do you believe that?
I think of the three, Conover is probably the most SEC ready. Jamari Joyner is a really good athlete, but some of the schools that recruited him as an athlete, not a quarterback.
Meaning they could move him into a position.
Meaning that, you know, he wants to play quarterback, and he put up some really, really big numbers. But when you're talking about Alabama, you're talking about the elite college football program in the country, along with Clemson and Ohio State.
Sure, it's a handful of schools.
And if I am the parent of any of those three, what I would suggest is you have two choices. You can either be a quarterback at Alabama and say you were a quarterback at Alabama, or you could go to another school and be a quarterback and play quarterback.
Okay. So you'd be able to have a shot at playing.
I just think, you know, the kid that came in that played with the tongue twister name last night, he was the number one rated dual threat quarterback in the country.
Just call him Tua.
Just call him Tua.
Yeah.
It wasn't like Alabama is just trying to find guys just to find guys. I mean, they're getting elite level quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And none of the three Arizona players are top dual threat quarterbacks in the country. They're all three really good players. I just don't know if they're Alabama good. And you know, I love Brock Purdy, the person, just as much as I love him, the football player. I don't know Jamari Joyner very well. I don't know Jacob Conover very well. But I just think if you're looking to go to a school and really have an opportunity to play,
right,
I would not go to Alabama. So, I mean, like Jalen Hurts, Brad, had one interception the entire season, and Nick Saban just yanked him in the championship game. And deservedly so. He was struggling, but that's the leash is, it's not short. It's very short.
Okay, so let's go off of track record of players that leave Arizona and go to the SEC. Because I could say, well, let's look at players that leave Arizona and go elsewhere, and I can go right to Brian Lewerke killing it at Michigan State. And he's going to come back here from Pinnacle High, and I'm sure he'll do fine. Brett Hundley did fine at UCLA. He struggled this year with the Packers. Lots of guys struggle when they go on to the NFL. Kyle Allen and Connor Brewer, the two quarterbacks that come to my mind that left Arizona, that went down into the Big 12 and into the SEC, and neither one of them flourished. In fact, both of them, I can't say that Kyle is out of football. Is he done playing at Houston? Or does he have another
year? I don't think so. He has another year.
He has another year.
I don't know if he's going to stay there or grad transfer out.
Right. So, but the facts are, is two players that were right in the conversation of quarterback of the year in our state left, went to football hotbed states, country, or conferences rather, and neither one of them did well. That's just a fact. I'm not beating up on the kid. Am I missing a quarterback that has left Arizona and gone down to the SEC and thrived? I mean, somebody will text me and somebody will shoot me a note saying you forgot about this kid or that kid. I'm not talking about Pac-12. I'm not talking about ACC. I'm talking about, you know, Ryan Finley ended up at Boise first before he ended up down in the ACC. And he's done fine. My point is, you get all enamored with the brand. You get all enamored with the idea that you're going to be in the same room as Nick Saban. You get all enamored with all of that stuff, where in the kid's best interest. So Jamari Joyner, Eric, is supposed to visit Baylor. He's supposed to visit Nebraska. He's supposed to visit Alabama. And I believe Arizona State is lurking somewhere behind the scenes saying, go take your visits, but make sure you see us last. Jamari Joyner, in my view, you talk about the athlete quarterback, for him to go to Baylor, which is starting over essentially, for him to go to Nebraska, which has a new face, new voice, for him to go to Alabama, it doesn't make sense for him to go to Alabama. If I'm just looking at how this is all laid out, if I'm the advisor on this one, it's, you know, look at these other options rather than going halfway across the country where they're going to go tell 10 quarterbacks probably, you're the greatest thing ever. If I'm Brock Purdy, I'm visiting Boise State next weekend. There's nothing wrong with Boise State at all. You got the blue turf. They've sent players on. Great spot. Not a whole lot of media attention. Go do your thing. Put up big numbers. Move on. Get a great education. He's supposed to visit Central Florida the following week. Okay, so Central Florida has a new coach. Josh Heupel is a new coach. He's supposed to fly in this Friday morning and have breakfast with Brock Purdy. Pretty impressive that Central Florida would come all the way out here. Then Purdy's supposed to fly out there and visit Central Florida the following week. Who wouldn't want that as an option? But the week after, he's supposed to be at Alabama. And when you watch what happened, you're going to fly all the way cross country to Florida, fly back, and then fly back to Alabama to look at a crowded quarterback room, at least from my view. Now, Brad Edwards says differently. Brad says, well, maybe it's not so crowded. Even so, then you're Jacob Conover. You are at Chandler High. You are a junior. There's two quarterbacks next year, and I'm sure there's others I'm leaving out. There's Spencer Rattler and there's Jacob Conover. Those are two players you have to see if you're a college football fan. If you're a fan of seeing high school football too, you have to see those two players. Rattler's already committed to Oklahoma. Conover is going to go take his visits. If I'm in the Conover camp, because I've got visits all over the place I can go to now, he's blowing up, I probably have to take a good, long, hard look now and say, you know, I think, guys, I'm going to go a different direction. There will be some people that would say, oh, you just don't want to come compete. No. Let's not put pressure on the kid. Just because Alabama calls you doesn't mean you have to pick up the phone. Just because they won again last night doesn't mean that you have to go there. There's plenty of great options. I haven't talked about the academic side. What are the academics for these three kids? Just find it interesting. There's three quarterbacks here in our state that Alabama has offered and is going after. Now, in Purdy's case, the offer is a preferred walk-on at this point. Feeling I've gotten from the Purdy house is if he goes there, they've pretty much assured that they're going to offer him. But we'll see. That stuff always changes. So the next couple weeks are going to be really interesting. You know, we had a kicker here last year who he decommitted. He was supposed to go to Alabama, decommitted, goes to Arizona State, and he had a fine year. I mean, it's not the first time Alabama's come rolling in. Christian Westerman went to Auburn, SEC lineman, didn't like it, came back, playing in the National Football League now, went to Arizona State, playing the NFL. It's just an interesting time. I think in Joyner's case, U of A has offered him. And who's that next head coach going to be? And is Arizona State pushing Jamari Joyner really hard? And I'm of the opinion that they are. All right, on the other side, so there's been a head coaching hire in the NFL. How does it impact the Cardinals? And a few other things on my mind, that's up next. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, a few other things before we get out of here. We want to wish the best to Larry Fitzgerald Sr. He is recovering from heart surgery here in Arizona. We wish him a speedy recovery. One of the very good people in press boxes that we have seen through the years. The Bears have hired their coach. Yesterday they hired Matt Nagy, who worked with Andy Reid. So one name off the board and a name that had not been linked to the Arizona Cardinals. Again, I'm of the opinion that this is going to go for a bit of time. The hiring cycle, if they have focused in on somebody, it will be probably on a Monday or Tuesday once a team gets eliminated from the postseason, if that's the direction they're going to go. I do believe that you should be interested, if you're the Cardinals, in seeing what Nick Saban is going to do, to see what Bill Belichick is going to do. You may roll your eyes and say, Brad, you know, put the peace pipe down or something like that. But I'm saying to you that if those types of coaches have reached a point in their current positions where things may be about to change, why wouldn't you at least speak with them? It's that time of year in the hiring cycle. You should leave no stone unturned. I thought it was interesting to hear Steve Kerr yesterday. Steve Kerr is one of my favorite people to hear speak because he doesn't go through the same motions as head coaches and front office people do in most pro sports where they just get it out of the way. It's kind of like Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians would say what he felt, and it would produce a chuckle. It would produce some times where you'd cringe. But it was always interesting, insightful, entertaining, fill it all together. Steve Kerr was asked yesterday about LeVar Ball. If you've watched this show long enough, you know I don't do much on LeVar Ball. Yesterday, Casey Jacobson and I had a brief discussion about it. LeVar Ball is one of the biggest reasons why our industry is in the state that it is in, because we're just chasing clicks on websites. People are interested to hear what somebody is saying, even as outrageous and as ridiculous as it may seem. It doesn't matter if his shoe company gets rated an F by the Better Business Bureau. He'll turn that into something of a positive because it's more attention for him, and people will click on websites. It's very unfortunate. If I did LeVar Ball on the TV show every week and showed some LeVar Ball on a TV show every week, it would get a ratings point. It would. People want to see the car crash, and it's unfortunate. So Steve Kerr was asked about this story of LeVar Ball in Lithuania commenting that Luke Walton has lost the Lakers, which has made the Lakers have to all deny that there's anything wrong. Steve Kerr said yesterday, you know, ESPN laid off Mark Stein and Ethan Strauss, two very good journalists, and yet they have the ability to fly somebody over to cover the Ball kids in Lithuania, who is managing to put stuff out from LeVar Ball every single day. It's nothing more than just being around LeVar Ball and getting clicks on websites. There's a reason why certain companies in our industry having to go through layoffs and having their stockholders say, this is not what we have signed up for, and we're going to go a different direction. I'm so done with that topic because it's so transparent as to what it is. And it's been a great year in the NBA. NBA action. I was watching last night at halftime. I flipped over and I'm watching Brooklyn and Toronto. And there's almost a brawl. A couple times there's guys getting thrown to the floor. And it was really interesting and entertaining basketball. I'm watching Isaiah Thomas, all this stuff. And it's Brooklyn and Toronto. And I'm watching. Like the league this year is compelling. Outside of the team here in town, although I think they're starting to turn the corner maybe a little bit. It takes time to turn the Titanic around. ASU comes in 11th. Arizona comes in 17th in the college basketball poll. The biggest game on Thursday night in Arizona is not ASU against Oregon. It's not Arizona against Oregon State. It is Grand Canyon against New Mexico State. The top of the whack through the years has been New Mexico State. And New Mexico State comes to Phoenix and they play at GCU Thursday night. That's the must-see game. It is. It's nothing against ASU. It's nothing against U of A. I've seen DeAndre Ayton. I've seen Raleigh Alkins. I've seen Alonzo Trier. I've seen the great backcourt of ASU. It's going to take a while for their front court to get it figured out. They're just not that good right now. They're not that consistent. And so these games for the next few weeks for the Sun Devils are going to be grind games. It's going to be a grind to watch Romello White try to figure out how to catch a basketball and shoot rather than drop it and bounce it off of him. It just is. Daquan Lake can block a shot or two, gets in foul trouble way too much. Scheibel's just a body. So Bobby's trying to figure out how to work these guys through, and his best lineup may be to go small. It may be may have been a blessing the other night against Utah to have all three bigs foul out. But the GCU New Mexico State game is the game to be at this Thursday night. It just is. Our producer on this is Eric Sorensen, as always. Appreciate Eric, the senior executive vice president of everything. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. We're going to stop this and go over on the TV side and produce up our television show now. This show repeats all day and all night. We're self-funded, so the commercials you see during this break are people who believe in what we do. And we appreciate those sponsors and them being involved with us day in and day out. Being self-funded is a lot of fun, but it does take the work of you watching, contributing, and having those sponsors too. Make it a great day.